We resume its deliberations on item 1101.
Commissioner
Frist, did you want to?
It turned out that that short recess was helpful because I was able to confer with the lead sponsor. And so I'm just going to state my concern on the record rather than proposing an amendment. And that is that it's not intended that these regulations would apply to seasonal workers. So that when you come back with the rules, we don't need to know what people are doing the other 3 months of the year when they're not doing this, even if they're non-represented. Thank you.
So, Commissioner, are we on the record?
Yeah.
So thank you for flagging that issue. We'll take a look at it. I want to make sure we get it right, so we'll come back and brief you on what we learn. That concludes our presentation.
Okay. Yeah, I have some additional questions, so maybe Ms. Szymanski should also come to the table. Since she gave me the answer during the break, I just want to put it on the record. So the resolution states that the Portland Police Commanding Officers Association and the Portland Police Association are exempt from this, but it doesn't say anything about the Portland Firefighters Association. So I was wondering about that.
So the Portland Police Association...
Tracy, bring it down
a bit. Pull the microphone down.
Sorry. Yeah. Portland Police Association and Portland Police Commanding Officers Association already have greater restrictions on outside employment that are provided by city law that's generally applicable to city employees. They have to affirmatively get permission, and there's very limited types of outside employment that they can do. It's the most restrictive in the city other than elected officials. Portland Fire does not have anything more restrictive than general city law, and so that's why they're not carved out, and police are.
So Portland firefighters are subject to this,
yes.
These rules then? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, that's the current intent. Obviously, we'll bring the final rule back
and
to
if
council.
I could just say, we've tried to be cautious here, Dan, and careful about this. And in effect, we're phasing it because there's some open questions about the level of consultation we may have to have with our labor partners. And there's some open questions about what our existing practices and protocols. And so we don't want to trip any of those wires. And so what we're saying is everybody's going to have to disclose whether they have a conflict, but we're going to be focusing in the first phase on non-represented employees, where we'll do a deeper dive. And then we'll figure out how we address other employees over time.
Okay. And my other question was, it does require written approval for outside work.
For so what, represented employees.
For non-represented.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Non-represented employees.
Right. So what happens if that written approval is not given and there's a dispute, I guess? How is that?
So we haven't currently envisioned how that would happen. As I mentioned, the intent is that the standards governing that decision be as clear and objective as possible. I think one of the good things that we should be discussing before we come back to you is, you know, what would happen? Does there need to be an appeal mechanism? How would that work? But that has not yet been sorted out.
But for example, I don't think it would be a big lift to just provide that the bureau director has the final say. I mean, so there could be an appeal to the bureau director. We anticipate this coming up rarely.
Yes.
But I think Dan's point is, if you're dissatisfied with your supervisor's review of the matter, is there some, you know, higher authority? And I think we should strongly consider having that be the bureau director.
Yes.
I think this is going to be a rare instance.
Yes. And I concur that that it would be appropriate to have that decision, if there's a dispute as to the appropriateness of the decision, to have that decision made at the bureau director level.
Is that something fair game for the Civil Service Review Board, too, or whatever that's called?
That would be possible. The Civil Service Review Board definitely handles, you know, has authority over many classified service employee appeals. There are a few non-represented employees who are civil service exempt, so we would need to look at whether they would fall through the cracks.
Okay. Yeah, I just think, you know, it's probably going to be rare, but in those rare circumstances where it happens, it's probably going to be explosive. So maybe something more impartial than a bureau director, like us, or a step beyond the bureau director might be worth taking a look.
We'll take a look at it.
Yeah
great
okay.
feedback, and we will definitely consider that.
Okay. Any other questions? Or
I have some questions. First, I just want to clarify a few things that I think are being misunderstood. This is a resolution, not an ordinance. It's directing the CAO and the city attorney to review and revise our current policy as necessary and to develop a clarified rule and training materials.
Correct.
And those will come back to council for review and approval.
Okay. I do want to say that other than a conflict of interest where someone is using their knowledge or connections or resources that they have at the city to benefit them in their outside employment, or they are participating in that outside work during work hours, I don't think it's any of our business what their job is, what their second job is. So I'm not sure if I'm reading this correctly. We are going to, or we are considering requiring disclosure of all outside work of non-represented employees, and that written approval will be required in all circumstances.
The current proposal is that all employees, represented and non-represented, would have to disclose if they had outside employment, but only non-represented employees would need the written approval.
And is that, at least in part, because that, for representative employees, that would be part of the bargaining?
We don't know enough to answer that question.
Okay.
We don't want to make a definitive statement on the record on that.
Yeah,
but that,
it's a valid concern and question.
And it's why we have, my chief of staff has been talking to all of our labor partners about this and consulting with them. That's to be determined whether it would have to bargain.
So, I mean, Commissioner Saltzman brought up an example of an exotic dancer. Perhaps we have city employees who have outside work that is legal and legitimate and there's no conflict. They simply don't want their supervisors or bureau directors or commissioners in charge to know what that job is. I guess I'm thinking I would rather see a disclosure of outside work, sure, and maybe a checklist where if there are red flags that come up in that checklist, then the full disclosure happens. If their work has no conflict of interest, is happening outside of business hours, et cetera, then I'm not completely comfortable with requiring full disclosure of everyone.
So there are different possibilities. Multnomah County, for example, has all employees disclose whether or not they have outside employment. It's just a yes or no question.
Okay.
And then there can be follow-up if needed to determine what that is. So certainly for represented employees, that would definitely be a possibility. I think the more high level the position is, the more it's important to take a look at what the outside employment is to determine whether there's an actual or perceived conflict. And so we have to evaluate how would the manager have enough information to make that decision versus protecting employee privacy. And so I agree, we haven't settled on a proposed recommendation yet, but those are competing concerns to grapple with.
And it may be rare, but I actually think it may be more common than people realize. And I do want to point out to everyone in the room that we're not giving specific examples because these are sensitive HR issues. We're not going to give you the name and circumstance of, you know, situations that have arose that have prompted us to want to be more thorough about this. But I guarantee you if it came out in the news that a highly paid public employee was moonlighting and somehow benefiting from their position here or working during business hours, that the public would be outraged that we had no protections in place to prevent that. So I do, in general, support this. And I'd also want to point, I have one more question. What if it's a bureau director?
They will
has
also
the outside. Who do they report to? Is the question
the commissioner in
okay.
charge?
All right.
And there are in fact bureau directors that have outside employment.
Yeah.
I'm aware of some instances where they have absolutely nothing to do with their day job, but would be required. And I want to thank my friend and colleague for the comment she made a moment ago, because what she said in effect was, we are contemplating improving our protocols and strengthening our mechanism for enforcing conflicts of interest, absent a scandal or an audit. And we are sometimes criticized for always being reactive to the moment. And one of the things that I'm proud of here is that we've had the opportunity to take the time to canvass how other cities are addressing this. And forward-looking cities that recognize that increasingly the workforce of tomorrow is going to have side work, that you're competing against people that, particularly as the work week shrinks or as people become contingent, they are going to have outside business interests. We owe it to them to have a rational system for making sure they're aware of what our conflict of interest rules are, that they don't run afoul of them, that they get adequate training, and that in those rare instances when there's a conflict, that there be a process for trying to resolve that. That's what this is about, and I appreciate you calling out that we're doing this, again, without a scandal or an audit driving it, and we're doing it upstream, which I think is where we ought to be more often on these kinds of matters.
Thank you.
Okay. So thank you very much, and Carlo, please call the roll.
You Daly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you all for the work and for the discussion. Aye.
Fish?
So I have a few thank yous. First, I want to thank my chief of staff, Sonia Schmansky, who's been working on this for quite some time. And I also want to call out our summer intern, Sheila Panyam. And some of you met Sheila when she was here. She's a University of Washington undergraduate. But I think most important, she was a Lincoln graduate, and she was a member of the National Championship We the People program. And that's how we learned about her. And she spent the entire summer doing research, looking at other cities, counties, states, and the federal government for best practices. And she was very resourceful. And when we found out that Dayton, Ohio was really the national leader, and Dayton of all places, she got in touch with their city manager and managed to get copies of their written policies and their deliberations. So a big thank you to Sheila for the work she did. And I think few interns have had the kind of impact she's had, and she really drove a lot of the research. I want to thank my co-sponsors for their collaborative work on this and support. And I want to, you know, one of the people who testified made a comment about this may not be a good investment of the city's time to ensure no conflicts of interest. I would say respectfully that there are few things more important for us as leaders of the city than to ensure that conflicts of interest are avoided. I think that's one of our most important responsibilities. And what I came to appreciate when we did a deep dive around this is that the combination of policies that were less than clear, the absence of training, even regular, much less regular training of our employees, combined with a system that was basically an honor system that you disclosed if you thought you had a conflict of interest, but you were required to do so, even though in my judgment you probably didn't have enough information to make an informed judgment. All of those convinced us that this is a problem that we need to get in front of. And I'm therefore particularly grateful both to the Chief Administrative Officer and the City Attorney for the work that they've done to help us get to this point, and we look forward to seeing your work product in 90 days. So thank you all. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye. Resolution is adopted, and we will move on to